Matt Funicello, it emerged in the 2014 campaign that you do not believe the official narrative of the 9/11 attacks. What did happen in 9/11?
Oh, no, that's a real gotcha question, Alan. That's gotcha journalism. No, I'm completely teasing you. It is very opportune that we're having this discussion, you know, days after the 28 pages have been redacted and they are now talking publicly about the connections very clearly between the Saudi royal family and the hijackers and the organization that affected the disaster on 9/11. There were attempts made to call me a truther in the last election cycle, and all I've ever said, publicly or privately, is that I don't believe the official story. And the main reason is that I watched on television the day the towers came down, and it caused me to do a lot of research.
You didn't think they were pre-wired?
I saw it being a demolition. That was not airplanes flying in, and Tower 7 is the answer to that.
Don't you think, though?
NIST said that Tower 7, the third tower that fell, that many Americans still don't even know fell. It fell at 5:30 that day for no reason. NIST covered that up by saying it was a furniture fire on the top floors of the building. They recanted it a year later. It's ridiculous.
Don't you think? I mean, you've been very proud of the headway you've been making. You say that you're polling even better than the Democratic candidate in the three-way race in your district. When you start talking about this?
I didn't start talking about this. This was Aaron Wolf's campaign in the last election cycle trying to discredit me. And as I pointed out to him and to Congressman Bill Owens at the time, it isn't discrediting me because you don't have your finger on the pulse. I talk to people about the truth every single day at my cafe. I know thousands of people, and nobody believes this. There's a very small core of people who are very jingoistic, but, you know, those of us who actually read, and that's a lot more people than we envision, know that
snotty.
This does not make sense. Then it's snotty. Yeah. I just think it's true. If you do research about 9/11, and there's tons of it out there that's independent and international, it really does show that our government and our corporate media have been participating in not a big lie, because I don't really believe in the conspiracy. I just believe that we are lazy. We believe what the government is telling us. And that's a mistake when so many others are saying independently, that's not the truth.
So when you look up in the sky and you see the chemtrails, do you have any idea what those are from?
I have not bothered to spend any of my time in my life worrying about that. I'm more concerned with HAARP. And that's a real thing.
Explain it.
Well, HAARP is the harmonic resonance program they have running out of the Arctic, where we spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars setting up this plan, and you have all of these radio transmitters, and this is done in the 1970s. And these radio transmitters are capable of sending out sound signals into the atmosphere that will bend the Earth's atmosphere. This is a military experiment by the Navy, primarily, if I am not mistaken, but many other federal governmental agencies have also participated. Martin Sheen did an excellent documentary about this in the late 90s, showing that we were actually recrafting weather by sending this bending out, because if you can understand the way the orb works, as you expand one point of it, it would create different pressure on the other side of the globe. We also believe, many of the people who are studying HAARP, that you can then use that to create things like tidal waves or storms. And I mean, again,
do you think we've been doing that?
I have no idea, Alan, but shouldn't we know? I mean, shouldn't we have a transparency?
Do you personally believe we do that?
This is just like the 9/11 question. I don't know. What I do know is that when you read about it and you understand the capacity we have developed, I would like there to be absolute transparency about why we're doing this, what it's for, and what we've done with it thus far. You know, we certainly know now that we tried to create super soldiers with PCP. This is not a fantasy. This is not utopia. We know from the Northwoods Project that there was a point in time when the CIA was trying very hard to find a reason to kill Castro and start an armed move against him or a war with Cuba. And we mentioned all kinds of unconscionable things in the Northwoods Project, one of which was flying a remote control airplane into the Empire State Building and blaming it on Castro. I mean, we have to understand our government's capable of absolutely horrific things. They have been since the Cold War and on. Perhaps we should go back further.
Is there
assuming
you're right
for
a second, which I find hard to do, but assuming you're right, is there any putting the genie back in the bottle when it comes to the government behaving in this way?
I don't think we've even allowed the genie fully out of the bottle. The genie is in shackles and is very tightly controlled by the military-industrial complex. And I would say all we're asking to do is let's unshackle the genie. Let him free.
And how do we do it?
I really believe the answer is to stop voting for anyone who takes corporate money and any party that does. And if voters understood their power in doing that, we would have a quiet and fairly peaceful revolution overnight.
I'm glad you've raised it, because I'm just writing a column in which I talk about Hillary Clinton and the perception that she is basically a corporate tool.
Sure.
I'm not saying
the perception
it.
Or the reality
no,
of it?
No, the perception.
I'll say it then.
Look, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Well, this is a woman who fought for fake health care under the Bill Clinton administration and then collected how many hundreds of millions of dollars from Big Pharma afterwards and bought her Senate seat with it in upstate New York.
I'm going to vote for her.
Oh, well, that's fine, and
no,
that's
I'm
right, in a safe
state. I'm just telling you this. On the other hand, you're going to have a case in which you're going to have Hillary versus Trump. And my question to you is...
That's too easy, Alan.
It is?
Yeah, it's a softball. Trump is going to be totally obstructed. He's a buffoon and a blowhard. He's not an intelligent human being. And you're saying that Hillary Clinton won't. Hillary Clinton will be backed and endorsed by all the Democrats in Congress and the Senate who love or fear her or both. That's all of them. And then you're looking at half the Republicans. You have to remember who will also support her because her policies are fairly Republican. Then you have to look at the fact that we are looking at a war machine that wants to bomb Iran and Yemen tomorrow. And you're looking at a woman who stated she wants a land war with Russia, basically. She'll get all that stuff.
When did you say that?
Trump is not going to be able to do anything. It'll take him the 4 years he'll be in office to buy all of those people. And he's not going to be able to buy them away from the Democrats. There will be a fight. And all I'm saying is I'm much more scared of Hillary.
What about the Supreme Court judges who either of those guys will appoint?
I always cite Jeffrey Rosen, you know, and if you really look at it, Antonin Scalia was approved by every single Democrat in the Senate. No one really cares anymore. Citizens United and McCutcheon show us that we have a corporate Supreme Court. If you read Supreme Court Incorporated by Jeffrey Rosen, what he points out is that over the last 50 years, what's actually happened on the court is every single judge has been vetted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, a mechanism that totally wishes to enslave the working class of this country. And I just think it's irresponsible to even worry about Supreme Court justices when all 535 people in Congress and the Senate are millionaires working for a class of oligarchs that don't represent those of us who get up every morning and go to work.
So then how can you get up the day after you lose the election and say, I lost?
Because I am going to vote on principle and I'm going to run on principle, and we all should be doing the same thing. If we stopped being so scared and hiding under our beds and voted for what we wanted, Jill Stein would be president tomorrow. There would be a Congress full of Greens and Libertarians. We would not have a war going on. We wouldn't have fake political theater.
So what is there? False consciousness on everybody's part?
No, it's corporate media, Alan, and it's really that simple. I mean, these mechanisms control and own our media. So, again, the problem is going to be that the, you know, Noam Chomsky said this in Manufacturing Consent. Somebody who's going to be the publisher of the New York Times is going to be of a certain class, is going to have been schooled by a certain group of people, is going to live in a certain type of culture. The bottom line is they're not us. So what happens is the enforcement of that culture within that corporate class is reinforced. And you end up without getting any of the message or the voice through from people like me who actually do get up every day and go to work. And you do the same thing. And when you allow expression of that voice, I find that almost every single time, it is not for any of the false arguments we're having at the national level at all. Everybody's saying, you know, there's another choice. We could do another thing. We don't have to have empire or endless war or, you know, a nuclear Armageddon. Those aren't the only choices we have. We also have nationalizing our weapons program so that we're not the biggest gun dealers in the world. We also have peace. We also have maybe we could reduce the number of bases from 900 to 100. You know, but we have to have the conversation. We're not even having it when we vote for Democrats and Republicans.
Matt Funicello, thank you so much for being with us. Is the Green Party candidate for New York's 21st district. Matt, keep coming back.
Thank you so much for your time, Alan. I really do appreciate it.